Okay, so last week we tackled shame. This week, as you may have guessed, I'm going to talk about labels, things that we're labeled with, right? Things that have maybe followed you for a long time frame, you know, labels you had from 20 years ago even, something that's haunted you, oh, it's been in your mind forever, you just can't get it out. Maybe it's paralyzed us from living the life that God wants us to live, right? There's been struggles with these labels. So I believe this message is going to be one that will help you with the healing of this, what you might call your internal identity, right? That thing inside you that needs just a little tweaking, and these labels are holding you back. So I got to start with a few of my labels, of course, from my past, right? Some currently, some good, some not so much. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk most negative ones. Some of these are just my nature as I grew up, right? You grow up a certain way and you do certain things. For instance, I am not your typical soft-spoken pastor, right? I don't talk like this. I'm loud. I'm obnoxious. Now, I don't mean obnoxious mean. I'm just loud, and I get in front of people. I'm overpowering sometimes. You'll start talking, and I jump in. Ray knows this. He's shaking his head. He knows how I am, right? So those are things I got to keep working on, but I have labels of those things stick with me, but I know them. I know the labels are there, and I'm trying to change those labels. So all labels with plenty of truth that I talked about there, and also these labels I'm trying to fix. Now, these kind of labels are the ones that, man, they really bind us. They hold us back, right? Maybe at times there are labels that we frequently, wrongly, kind of got accused of, and we really believe at times for things that happened in our past. When we talk about labels, many times we mean words, right? The label is some kind of word somebody called you or made up for you. And they're very powerful words, right? Now, they can be positive, though, right? We could say things like this: create, heal, shape, motivate. Do you know somebody who cannot say anything negative anytime, any place? I know people like that, right? Here's what I like to call those people: positive people with positive perspectives. No matter what happens, it's good, right? And it's hard, especially if you're in the middle of something that's bad, for someone to come up and say, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. Jesus will help you, right? That's what most of us would say in here. That's hard when you're struggling with that. But positive people with positive perspectives, something to watch. They never get down on the negative things. They just keep them moving forward. Okay, so it's backed up with some scripture. I'm going to start with Proverbs 18:20, and then I'm going to hit 21 too. It says in 18:20, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled, right? So words. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. Now that can be good or bad, right, with these satisfactions. On the negative side, you see, you may have some labels. I'm sorry if you're out there. Negative Nancys, right? They are the opposite of the positive people, right? They only say negative things. They can't stop themselves. If you're out there and your name's Nancy, sorry. No offense. These labels have the power to hurt, wound, discourage, destroy people, right? It just tears you apart when you hear these things from these people. And a lot of times they can't stop. And most of the time, they come from your family, don't they? Every one of us is nodding our heads out there, right? So they have those powers to do that. Some think that they are helping you by being blunt sometimes, right? While others do it to just belittle you, right? We all know people like that. So many of us tend to say, it's just words, only words, right? But have you heard this saying before? Sticks and stones may break my bones, right? But words will never hurt me. Come on. That's not true, is it? Them words, man, they're like a sword sometimes, just digging into you. Because we know words can hurt, they can sting hard, and they can stay with us for an eternity, it seems like. So, going back to Proverbs, here's the next one, right? 18:21, it says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All right? Eat its fruit. I like to think of that as the positive person, right? Life and death, though, what you say can turn someone's life around, make them feel good, or you can put them on a path that's not good at all, all right? So words can build or words can destroy. When you hear something over and over again, it's hard not to believe it, right? If people keep telling you that, words have shaping power. Okay, so like you guys know, I'm a meteorologist, so I love the sky. Now, we had arguments over this in the first service. The sky is blue, okay? Now, it can be different colors at different times. But what if someone kept telling you that blue sky is green? And for years, they keep telling you every day. And you hear it from other people. And you're like, that's not green. That's blue. I can see it's blue. And after like 10,000 times, you start going, man, maybe it is green. Maybe it is green. And then a little bit later, you go, this is green. I can understand this. So bam, you start agreeing with them. Yeah, maybe it is green. You say that. Matter of fact, this is what you say about your buddy. That dude says the sky is blue. What a loser. Right? We put labels on people, right? But see how you can be manipulated by words. Words, labels are words. All right. Because words have such a powerful way of shaping what we think and who we are, it really gets worse at times when we have words in the form of labels that come from our past. Those are the ones that stick with us for a long time. Some of them are wrong labels that we picked up or somehow owned because of some past mistake we made in our, you know, back 10 years ago, whenever it was. Maybe somebody called you something or said something that made this occur. Maybe they belittled you or make you feel less than who you really are. We know people, right? Then, okay. You may have internalized it as being guilty yourself, though, after you've heard it. Remember, blue being green, and after you've heard it, well, maybe I am that type of person, right? And you can't drop that guilt from your mind, despite it being many, many years ago that it happened, all right? Because of this, you feel like you own the action and somehow connect your own identity to that label from so long ago, and it kind of leads your life, right? Well, they say, I do this. I must be able to do that. That must be what it's like. So you may understand it like this, though. It's kind of like you ever thrown a ball up against the wall, right? And you're throwing the ball against the wall. And eventually you're going to crack the wall in spots, right? That kind of thing. Well, you have a facade up that's the same thing. And you're getting all these things bounced off you. And slowly it works into a crack somewhere. And then what happens? Everything starts to seep in, right? You start to struggle with it. You know, these labels get like that, and they get ingrained in you. You can't lose them. How about this label, or some of these? You may have the label of being lazy, all right? Maybe people say you're lazy or average. You're just an average person, and you're never going to amount to too much. How many of us have heard that? How about this label? Oh, you're hot-headed. You lose your cool way too easily. I can tell you this right now. Some of you know the story. I got thrown out of a baseball game, a kid's baseball game, as a coach 25 years ago. And it still comes back up at times. Oh, you're a hothead. But those of you who know me, I ain't nothing like that, am I? But I got the hothead kind of idea, all right? So it was there. Almost everybody doesn't think that of me, though. But it lingers in the background. Maybe you have the moniker of annoying. Are you annoying or pathetic? You're terrible at relationships or whatever the label may be. Maybe your family has the label of dysfunctional. We heard that about our families before? Oh, your family's dysfunctional, all right? Well, I got to retort to that. Here's the answer to that. Yes, we are. Every one of our families is dysfunctional in some way or another, despite the fact that we try to make it as perfect as we can, right? You want to know what will make it better? Jesus will. He will fill that house full of love, and it still will be dysfunctional. It's still going to have problems, but you're going to be on the positive side, right? Every family is dysfunctional no matter how hard we try. You're just too much of this, some people say, or too much of that, blah, blah, blah. Just lots of so many different things people pile onto us. So let's take and shift to something that might help us. The book of Matthew, right? Specifically the Gospel of Matthew. When we think of Matthew, we think of the gospel that bears his name, but it's the first of the four gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is how most of us say it. It's the first of the four gospels, and it's unique for a number of reasons. The gospel starts out by giving us the genealogy of Jesus. So we know what it traced from where it went to, right? It introduces us to Joseph, right? And a lot of people don't realize that Joseph was told by an angel or the Holy Spirit that he needed to marry, right? Mary, and that he had to do that, even despite the fact that he didn't feel like he was the father, that kind of thing. And also Mary, because that was conceived in her Holy Spirit. Now, it's only the gospel to tell us about the wise men from the east and the star. The other three don't talk about it, right? The star that led them to the house where they were in Bethlehem, which we're getting ready to celebrate. So Matthew is highly regarded in these days by Christians because of how powerful his gospel is. But he wasn't always labeled that, right? If you knew this about Matthew, is he was labeled a tax collector because that's what he did. Okay, back then, tax collectors were the guys who were hooking up with Rome and doing whatever they wanted to do. And they were taking advantage of all kinds of things, and people hated them. If you're a tax collector now, we kind of like, we think the same thing, I think, at times, right? So plenty of people in the New Testament were given labels, though. His was a tax collector, which was bad. It was one of the most awful things you could be. Here's some other labels. These, you might make us dismiss them as having value to God, some people. How about this? There was Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot sounds powerful, right? James and John were called the Sons of Thunder. Yes. We know what Doubting Thomas was, right? We know what his problems were. And of course, you go back to Matthew, the tax collector. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a roll call for the WWE WrestleMania, right? But they all had nicknames. They all had names. Something kind of label was put on them. Matthew specifically was universally hated by just about everybody because of what he was doing in his life. Tax collectors were considered traitors even, right? They worked for the Romans, and the Jews hated Rome. So these tax collectors collected all the taxes. A lot of people thought they sold out to the people who were occupying them. Sometimes I think they were doing what they thought they could for their families. So who knows? Be said. But they weren't liked at all back at that time. So Matthew was hated by virtually everybody who knew him. And yet Jesus selected him as one of his disciples, right? Why would he do that? Jesus chose a man with a label, tax collector, to be his follower. Why would he do that? Well, he did that because that's what Jesus does, right? Right? Jesus chooses the outcasts of the world to be his followers. And we see that everywhere in the Bible, and Matthew is one of those. People often miss focusing on the quality of other people because of labels, right? Because that is most important. They think about the labels. But quality of what Jesus did to recover the person is what Jesus looks at. He's an alcoholic 20 years ago, found Jesus, and now he's not doing that anymore. That's what Jesus wants you to focus on. He wants you to tell the story about how you got from there to here. Okay? That's where it is. That's why Jesus answered the Pharisees and the teachers of law with these words out of Luke. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think a lot of people in churches sometimes think everything has to be perfect. And each and every one of us are sinners sitting here. And that's who we're supposed to talk to. That's who we're supposed to find and move towards Jesus, right? Because of that, but sinners to repentance, that's why so many of the followers of Jesus had these labels. He picked out people specifically for that manner. Jesus chose them because of their labels, and that brings me to this point. Jesus calls us to embrace our labels. It's easy to say, I'm doing this, they labeled me that. But it's time to talk about it. It's time to tell people about it. It's time to use it for Jesus' name. In the Gospels of Mark and Luke, those Gospels identify Matthew as Matthew, right? Period. There's no mention of his ever being a tax collector. But in his own Gospel, he calls himself a tax collector, right? Matthew identifies himself as Matthew the tax collector. And why would he do that? For the exact same reason. He wanted people to know he came from here, which was bad, and he came to this point and found Jesus and changed, right? That's why in his Gospel he writes that. He was embracing his label. He'd been sinful, self-centered, selfish individual. He was not a nice man, and he wants you to remember that. He's using that to show you what Jesus is all about. Matthew didn't try to bury his past. He used his past as part of his witness to Jesus. Honestly, there are times we may even see truths in these labels, right? For instance, if you have been labeled lazy, well, maybe you're just not motivated, right? I'm right there, okay? I got my own problems. I'm not motivated, really. What if you're labeled a hothead? I got that one. But that was a long time ago. Well, maybe you do lose your temper more than most people, though, at times, right? But there's a way out, and I hope you understand this. What I'm going to say next, you can take this basically to the bank. This is truthful. Truth in your past does not have to be true now. All right? It does not. You can change. You probably have changed. That's why you're sitting here, and you're wanting to change more. So don't let a past truth control you. All right? Truth in your past does not have to be true now. So let's shift to the other side, though, from the past to the current status. What's true now does not have to be true in your future. Okay? What's true now does not have to be true in our future. God's power is bigger than your past, right? He's bigger than your present, and he's bigger than your future. All right? His grace is stronger than any label that any one of us may have or that anyone can put on you. All right? Because what's true now does not have to be true in our future. So those are some things to take home with you. Don't forget that. Other tax collectors came to eat with Jesus and Matthew, right? Well, why did they do that? And like I said, they came because they wanted to meet this Jesus who had accepted their old friend. It wasn't necessarily Matthew they saw a change in him. They wanted to see what it was all about and who had accepted him even though he was a tax collector. And they came because they knew something had changed really in his life. There was something different about him that made him and them realize what Jesus touches, he changes. What he touches, he changes. But you have to be wide-eyed and open for this and looking for this. You can't close your eyes and just hope something's going to happen. If you have embraced some negative labels that stops you, paralyzes you, holds you back, right, tears you down, keeps you from being who God wants you to be, well, then it's time to make a change. Time to make a change. That change can start right this minute. And this is what I want you to know. It's time to get out of the never-ending label loop. It doesn't matter what it was 20 years ago, what it is now. Someone's going to label you again in a couple weeks. Maybe somebody else will see something in a few years. Jesus will help you get through that. The love is there. You have to change your perspectives. You have to start looking different. The positive perspectives from people. Let me explain. This story is out of Genesis. It's out of chapter 29. It's the story, or a love story, about a guy named Jacob, who actually met a girl named Rachel, right? While he was out tending sheep. Okay, Susie and I have been to Israel. I've kind of seen the hills. There are hills with some rocks here and there, and there's some sheep there. We saw that. So I kind of had an idea. Can you envision this just a little bit, right? So now I envision him with his staff, right? It's got a little bell. Ding, 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 ding. And I hear him doing this. Sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Okay, come on, repeat after me. Sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Yeah, that's pretty funny, isn't it? Okay, but you can see that, right? That's what I'm seeing, right? And then what happens? She walks up, he turns, the jaw drops, right? And he drops the staff. He sees this beautiful creature that he thinks is the greatest wife in the world or mother than his, the woman that he wants. All these things come to his mind. Sheepy, 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 though, got in the way, right? There were things going on. You see, it did not have to go that way. It went something kind of like this. The music started, he felt all this stuff, but he had to do something about it, all right? Back then, he went to her father, okay? So, Rachel's father, she's this beautiful woman, he wants to marry her, but he says, I'll work for you for 7 years so I can get Rachel, if you know the story a little bit, all right? Pop says, go ahead, but Pop's is thinking a little something different, right? So he works for 7 years, no complaints, no nothing. He goes back to Dad, he says, hey, I want Rachel. Dad got a little switcheroo, huh? No, what about my daughter Leah over here? That's who you're going to get. Okay, they're rough on Leah in the Bible, all right? Here's what it's, you know, Rachel, it says, beautiful figure, all this stuff, right? All these good things. Then it talks about her sister, and it says Leah had weak eyes. Okay, what a label. We know weak eyes, she has great personality, right? All this stuff, right? All those things we think about. It's rough. The Bible's rough. It's harsh. It's rude. You could call it that. But it isn't. What they called her was a lovely figure and beautiful. That was Rachel. So he gets Leah after the first 7 years. Okay, so then he's like, but I still want Rachel. And Pop says, okay, work for another 7 years. You can have Rachel. He quietly goes about his business and works 7 more years. He doesn't complain and he does it. So after the 7 years, of course, he comes back and he says, well, I want Rachel, right? And Pops does go ahead and give him Rachel. That's how they worked things back then, right? So they have this great life, or they're trying to have this great life, right? Him and Rachel. They got this great hut or building, whatever it was, right? They're trying to have children, but they can't have children. This just hasn't happened. They got this beautiful turbocharged donkey in the driveway. It's great. Everything's going good, but the kid thing isn't working out for them. They're not finding it. So, no, it didn't work out that they got that, but they finally did. They kept praying to God about it, right? And God finally blessed them with a child. So, they're all excited about that, but now they want a second child, right? So, they go to have the second child, and the labor doesn't go good. It's really bad at the end, right? Rachel's in trouble, right? And in the middle of it, she's struggling with what's going on, but things are starting to happen. And remember I said, and I want you to stick with me because it will explain the way we're going with this in the label loop. Let's go to the story in Genesis. It's 35, verse 16. It goes through this sad story. Then they moved on from Bethel while they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. What do you got to remember there? There's no help there, right? There's no hospitals. There's no lifeline helicopter that takes you to wherever you need to go, right, like we have. It was a midwife who knew she was in trouble and wasn't going to make it. But she says, don't despair, for you have another son. So, and as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't despair, for you have another child. Okay, it goes on in verse 18. So now, Rachel knows this isn't going to go well, right? So as she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni. But his father named him Benjamin. Benjamin. Well, why would dad name something else when she wants this and when she on her dying deathbed? Now, you can understand why Rachel called her son Ben-Oni. The father called him something else, and it wasn't a nickname. It was going to be something else. Now, nicknames are things we give to people, right? I love nicknames. My grandpa called me Bertie right off the bat. I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I was 6 years old, and it stuck with me forever. And I love giving other people nicknames, right? My wife is Baby. You all know that, right? My son is Dude or the Big Guy, right? My daughter is Spankajewia. Long story in that one. One of the grandsons is named Brockstar, right? Instead of Brock, call him Brockstar. So I love doing that, and I love giving nicknames to people. But maybe there's some other nicknames you know about. How about this one? Hoss. Who knows what Hoss is? It's a big dude, right? Usually, you know where that comes from? Bonanza, right? Bonanza. The dude on Bonanza was big, and his name was Hoss. So he got that. 60 years ago, and that still sticks around. How about this one? Lefty. Who's Lefty in here? You're a left-handed person. They call you Lefty a lot of times, right? How about Slim? Slim's usually a tall, thin guy, right? Maybe the most famous came from Forrest Gump, though. You remember this? In the movie, he said, Dallas is from Phoenix and Cleveland from Detroit, plus Tex, of course. Forrest didn't know where he came from. You guys remember that line? All those nicknames, different people, different places. I loved it. In the Marine Corps, we did that everywhere. Everybody called everybody by a nickname somewhere. So it continued through my life, and now I do it to other people too. So my grandpa started with that, and all those different things fell into place for those different things. But those monikers are endearing to me because my grandfather did it to me, so I thought that was love. So when I do it to someone else, I think the same thing, calling you a nickname because I love you. I think you're great, right? Those kind of things. But names really do matter. And when we go back to Rachel, Rachel named her son Ben-Oni, right, when she was dying. Ben means son, right? Oni means sorrow. So he was the son of sorrow. So she named her child that. And I can see that, why she would do that, right? She's going to go through life ending it right now. She's never going to see him grow up. She's not going to see him get a wife, kids, ups and downs, the good things, the bad things. She's not going to see anything for that. For her, it was sorrow, right? So she does this as she's dying, and it's really a sad story. But who else is grieving? Who else is hurting in this? Jacob is, right? So the man who worked for 14 years now, right, to get the woman he loved, his best friend, his wife, the mother of his children, you can see that Jacob, what was happening to him, that was not the end for him, though, because now he had a son. It wouldn't be sorrowful for him forever. So what may be true in that moment won't be true forever. So what did Jacob do? Okay, first off, you got to go a little back, too. There was a time in Jacob's life, right, when he had this battle with God. It was an angel and God. It was through the night, and God wins, of course. And when God wins, Jacob asked him to bless him. Please bless me, he says. God to bless him, bless me, he says. But God says, no, I will change your name from Jacob, which meant the deceiver. Did you know that was deceiver? I did not know that at all. All right. Jacob is the deceiver. And then he's going to change it to Israel. Okay? Israel, which means God prevails. Okay? So he went from Jacob to Israel. We still pretty much talk about him as Jacob, and I will continue that way, but that's what happened. So he had some history of seeing how you can change names, because God did that, right? So what does he do? He also takes the place where he was at, and he changes the name to Peniel, which means face of God. Face of God. So that's what Jacob did. Because he had seen the face of God and he lived through it, that's what he changed the name of it to. Now, Jacob, who is now Israel, says, since we are renaming, I'm going to call this place Peniel. All right, he does that. And Jacob does this again, though, because he had the power to change the label and make it something else. So he's going to do it to his son, right? When he changed his son's name to Benjamin, it meant son of my right hand. Okay, son of my right hand was big back then. The right hand was known as the symbol for blessing. Blessing. Basically changing curses into blessing, changing harm into good. So that's what he called his son. All right? That's why he changed it to Benjamin. Son of my right hand. Now, the right hand was known as the symbol for blessing and basically changed those curses. And what you want to lead to and think about this is when you're changing names and changing labels, you don't get to choose what comes into your life, right? That didn't happen to Jacob. He knew he was going to get a son or whatever it was at that time. They couldn't take pictures, right? But then he lost his wife at the same time. So there was this bad, tragic thing that happened. So he didn't get to choose what came into his life, but he sure got to do and change what he called it. He could have stuck with that name and been sorrowful his whole life about his son and what happened to his wife, but he changed it to something that was beautiful, something that was fulfilling in his life. And that way he could remember it that way. It may look like trouble, sorrow, or fear, but you can choose to name it a servant, a blessing, something like that. And that's what he was going with. Wisdom, anything along those lines. You can choose to call it something else too. You do not have to live with what others may label you as, right? You do not have to live with that. You do not have to be that person. For instance, how many of you have ever messed up? That's good, because if no hands went up, the sermon was over. I was going to walk out. All right. Chances are, a lot of us, every one of us is a sinner. We've always had problems, and we're probably having problems right now. Chances are, before you became a Christian, or for some of you are trying to become a Christian, you messed up a lot, right? But now as you're trying to become a Christian or are a Christian, you're trying to do much less. You probably got labeled, though. You might think you are unworthy for your mess-ups. How many of us think that? Definitely. Your sin, you're worried about that. The things you don't want others to know. Maybe you even believe some or all of those labels, even if they weren't true. But remember what I said. You can change those labels. You can let them keep you tethered down, right? Anchored to the ground, right? Or use them to become your best asset. Because our problems in the Bible are everywhere, and we learn how they found Jesus and how they found God to get out of it, right? So instead of staying up nights and worrying about all your past transgressions, how about you use them? Use them for good. Use them for the light of Jesus. Showing people how you changed will allow other people to learn how they can change. Maybe you should say, yes, I have had problems with drinking, but God got me through, and now I am here to shout this glory from the rooftops and how he saved me. Right? It's something that happened in your past. Maybe it's drugs, porn, cheating, stealing. The list goes on and on and on. And they stick with you and they stay with you. You see, Satan can take your problems and use them to do more harm, right? You're choosing to change that right now by being here, right? God will take them to do overwhelming good. But you're the one who has to speak it. You're the one who has to tell it. You're the one who has to show it. Sometimes it's really simple. I told the story in the first one. I remember going to work, and I didn't think this guy was a Christian. But somehow, even though I wasn't shouting glory to God through the whole thing, after a few years, he knew I was a Christian, and he came and started asking me questions. And before I knew it, he went to church and became a Christian. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't have an idea that was happening. But whatever I was doing was slowly rubbing off, all right? Just because I was trying to stay positive. That can happen for you, too. That can happen for you, too. So if you don't like a label, maybe label it something else, right? Change it. Step away from it. And do good with it instead. It doesn't have to hang around your neck like this sign, the label, that says, I'm this. All right? Change it, step away, and do good with it. Yes, there will be some ups and downs when you do this, all right? That's what life is like. You will struggle to overcome the labels you have believed in for so long. That's going to be hard. It'll probably stay with you forever. They called me this. They called me this. I'm not that anymore, all right? That's going to be tough. But keep diving into God's word and allow him to use it for your good. And for so many others, you may be, you know, that you don't even realize are having the same problems. Maybe right here in the church. Maybe today you're talking with somebody and somebody else overhears how you struggle with something, but you found Jesus and it helps them. You don't know until you start talking about it. Maybe they're right here in the room. Maybe at work. Maybe at your Christmas dinner table. Right? In your own family. Think about this little story. It's about a pastor and his wife who decided to start a church. You know, all pastors are supposed to open up churches, right? Go plant the seed, there we go. Get the churches going. Well, you search for a while and you don't seem to find something you like. Maybe you are waiting for something perfect. Maybe you think you aren't cut out for it, really, after a while. Others in ministries think you're too out there to run a church. You're too crazy. You can't do that. Maybe they think you are wrong to want to minister to those unsavory people, right? You know what we call them, sinners. How many churches you ran into like that? They don't want the sinners in the church. Happens. But the labels others give you, you can push aside. They're meaningless. And while the labels of those people you want to get to you, try to change those to what God wants to call them, okay? We're talking about sinners. They don't want sinners there. But God wants to call them saved. That's what he wants to call them. After the initial dust and all this, you've gone through this trying to find this. After the initial dust settles from all of these confrontations and you get going, you name your church Innovation. All right? And I am convinced that what the enemy wanted to use against our pastors, Billy and Mandy, in reality, God wanted to use to strengthen them. And that's why this church is here right now. And it's growing. And we have such great people here. And everybody loves everybody. But we still label some of us, don't we, at times? So that's something we got to start working on. Okay, those first labels, right, for Pastor Billy and Mandy, were not liabilities. They became assets for this building, for these people. You know they had problems. You know they struggled just like you did. But you know they kept their love of Jesus at the forefront, and things are good. So the first labels were not liabilities. They became assets. They changed them, and I gave them some names here. I just kind of made these up. True Faithful Believers is one of their names, right? Confidence in Christ. Confidants in Christ. There we go. Just Joyous Jesus Lovers. You like that one? Truth Tellers, right? And my favorite, Salvation Experts, right? Come watch Salvation Experts. Okay, sorry. My tooth almost came out. Not good. I got excited. Salvation Experts on the History Channel, right? You could see that, right? So that's why I like Salvation Experts. I thought I was going to fly up there. I'm sorry, guys. If you don't know it, I got a missing tooth. It's been since I was 11. Okay, there we go. All these labels you have had, you could change the names to find your divine calling, really, right? All these labels. Some of them are like this. You're a liar, a cheat, undependable, lazy, a loser, right? We've all heard some of these. But no. Come on, friends. You are not any of these things. I say you have new labels, and here's some of the new labels. You are forgiven. Forgiven by the grace and mercy of Jesus, all right? You are made new, right? You are made new. You are healed. You are redeemed in the blood of a loving Savior. How about this new label? You're shaped and molded by the power of the cross. These are all new labels that you can have. Knock off the label of maybe you're older. I'm older, right? Got to knock off the label of a winter season, right? You're not old or in the doldrums. You are in a spring season. A spring season. Warm and loving and changed. Change those labels. No longer attached to the labels of now, but becoming the labels of your future. Let the roots grow, right? Let the roots grow and flourish by finding the presence of God. Because the enemy wants to kill and destroy you. But God wants you. You matter to God. God wants you. You matter to God. No matter what you think, what the labels are, you matter to him. Some of those labels, Satan wants to take and use. But God wants to use those bad things for good, not for bad. I know what some of you are thinking, but I can't do this. I'm in a bad place. This isn't going to work for me. I'm a failure. I'm never going to be worthy. All of us have thought that at one time or another, even the strongest of us. Sure, some of that may be true at times, right? Look what I told you about all the things I'm bad at, right? Nobody's perfect on that. Take those labels, though, and rip them off. Look, the devil wants to dredge up those ghosts of Christmas past, right, and take you away from God. But those labels you just can't throw away, he wants to guide you away, right? So take away from God. That's what Satan wants to do. God wants to use it. He wants to guide you away from a Savior born in a manger and a void of sin. That's what Satan wants you to do. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Satan wants to get you away from that thought and those things, and he's going to try to run you in a different place, and it may be because of the labels, all right? Jesus, on the other hand, believes you are Benjamin. Every single one of us is Benjamin, the son or daughter of his right hand, a blessing to all of us. Remember this. Truth in your past does not have to be true now, right? It just doesn't. Don't let it grasp and rule your life. Those labels can be ripped off. You can change them. You can make them what you want and use them for good. Plus, what's true now does not have to be true in our future, right? All right, that's a tough one. You think, I got this now, I can't get away from it. Change your labels, change your thinking. Grasp onto the love of Jesus. Because you don't get to choose what comes into your life, right? But you do get to choose what to call it. It's all up to you. Those labels can be changed. They can be pushed aside. They cannot hinder you anymore if you want to be that positive person with that positive perspective. I can tell you right now, I love every single person in this church. You know, it sometimes it can be a rough thing to see a lot of you go through things, and we're there praying for you, and it does. It gets to be a struggle for some of us, too. We want to do so much for you and help you. And some of these things, though, are labels that you've gotten yourself stuck in, right, and you can't get rid of them. Just know, we're still going to pray for you no matter what it is, whatever that label is. Whatever that thing you're struggling with is. And because of that love and that we pour out to you about Jesus Christ, we want you to find him and walk with him. We want you to dive into his word. We want you to change your perspectives and change your life. It doesn't have to be all downhill. You can start climbing the mountain again. Maybe you climbed it once and you fell down into the valley. Well, now it's time to climb up again. Maybe you got that label, but now you can get rid of it. Because you don't get to choose what comes into your life, but you do get to choose what to call it. One last thing. I know you look at me right now, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, man, that's a Santa in the making right there, right? That's what you see, isn't it? All my labels, some of you know, some of you don't, but they're not plastered on my forehead right here, right? So I can change those. I can make them different. I don't have to be that Santa in the making. I can be, well, I can't be Tom Cruise, but that would be nice. My wife thinks I'm Tom Cruise. Hold it. No, that's not right. But don't scurry away from your labels and let them bother you and hold you down. Get rid of them. Pass them on to somebody else where you say, look what happened to me. You can do this too. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for each and every single person in this place. They love you. They know they're going to continue to love you because you work in their lives every day. We know we struggle with some of the hard things, the labels, the problems in our lives, and we can't get rid of them. But we know if we focus on you and the light that you pour out to us, that we can be better people, better persons, and continue to strive to walk with you. We know you've given us that blood you shed on the cross for us to take away our sins, and we are grateful for that. We repent of everything we've done as sinners. We tell you that things are wrong and we have problems, and we just ask that you continue to love us, to give us solace, comfort, and love no matter the situation. We love you, Jesus Christ. We love you. We love you, Jesus, and we just thank you for everything you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.